You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
There's a word zero day spreading the Drydex banking Trojan. Amazon third-party sellers are bitten by reused passwords. IBM catches Mirai mining bitcoins. Symantec discerns Longhorn tools in WikiLeaks' Vault 7. Tensions over Syria's civil war seem to be behind the shadow broker's return. Germany considers a cyber-first-use doctrine. Crypto wars flare in Europe. And a Penn State professor takes the 2017 Girdle Prize for his work on differential privacy. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, April 11th, 2017. We begin with a few notes on cybercrime. The zero-day vulnerability in Word that's undergoing exploitation in the wild is now being used to distribute the Drydex banking Trojan. Many hope Microsoft will patch the flaw later today, but Redmond is still tight-lipped. Drydex, regarded as a more dangerous bit of malware than most, had of late been relatively quiescent until yesterday, when the Sands Institute and others observed a large spike in its distribution. Over at Amazon, third-party sellers are being hit with a wave of credential theft that's robbing them of the proceeds of their online sales. The criminals are said to be exploiting reused passwords they've purchased in various dark web markets. We heard from Chris Pearson of secure business network provider ViewPost, who notes that username and password credentials have been gossamer against fraud for years. He advises, really seriously and no joke, to move to two-factor authentication. IBM researchers have discovered a new criminal purpose for the Mirai IoT botnet malware. It's now been adapted by crooks and set to the CPU-intensive task of Bitcoin mining. Symantec has picked over recent WikiLeaks dumps and concludes that tools revealed in Vault 7 were used in the Longhorn campaigns, some 40 incursions into networks of 16 countries. Again, Vault 7 purports to represent a leak of CIA hacking documents. Fighting in Syria, especially Assad's horrific use of nerve agent against largely civilian targets, has considerably heightened tensions between Assad's patron, Russia, and the West. The U.S. and U.K. are taking a joint hardline toward Russia over Syria. That hardline is expected to include sanctions and has already included missile strikes against the Syrian regime's military installations. The conflict has its predictable accompaniment in cyberspace, particularly in information operations. The latest shadow brokers leaks seems obviously designed to advance Russian interests in Syria. The shadow brokers have long been regarded by close observers as a sock puppet on the hand of Russian intelligence and security organs. But many continue to regard the brokers as more mysterious than Muscovite. Whoever they are, they're very, very disappointed in U.S. President Trump, and they're sounding more alt-right for the moment than alt-left. They're also moving in lockstep with Russian diplomacy. ISIS, which of course is one of the several parties fighting in Syria, seems to have expanded its recruiting pool. Catalan police have discovered online attempts by ISIS to actively recruit women. Germany's newly established independent military cyber force is expected to grow to an end strength of 13,500 by July. Over the past weekend, Germany's interior minister told the news service ARD that he wanted the Bundestag to pass legislation that would permit the Bundeswehr to conduct first strikes in cyberspace in the event of clear, imminent, severe danger. There's a lot of momentum behind artificial intelligence and machine learning in cybersecurity these days, so much that it can be challenging to separate the marketing hype from reality. Dario Forte is founder and CEO of information security company DF Labs, and he offers some insights.
The marketing buzz and the marketing statement during the RSA, people and CISOs and also security professionals are starting to be concerned about what their role will be after that automation and machine learning will take over. The good news is that there is the possibility to balance both needs, meaning that automation machine learning will be able to relieve security people from their routinary tasks and or something that actually is time consuming for them, in order to have them focused and concentrated on real important tasks and real important cyber investigation in this particular case. We conducted a recent survey on many chief info security officers in the Fortune 500 space. Some of them is in our advisory board. And we asked several questions about how they consider automation and machine learning to solve the current problem. The first one is that you cannot automate everything. Especially in this particular period, there are some pieces of the incident response and security operation ecosystem, for example, that are still requiring human involvement. So, and the reason of it is very simple. You cannot trust the machine 100%, because if the machine is given the wrong input, then the wrong output is consequential. And the damage that could become from the wrong output could be even worse than the incident that you are investigating. Makes sense? So this is probably one of the most important concerns to address. And the solution for that is that keeping the human in the loop, so just being supported by automation and machine learning, is at the moment the best direction that CIO and CISOs want to take. The second concern is that if you rely too much on the machine, especially in data breach and incident response, there are many legal implications. And should the CISO be asked to go in court to testify, he cannot definitely take a machine as a support and or expert witness. So machines are still required to help the humans, but not to replace it.
That's Dario Forte from DF Labs. The crypto wars are flaring again in Europe. Emmanuel Macron, candidate for the presidency of France under the banner of the progressive third-party movement En Marche, makes some very tough promises to undermine widespread encryption should he take office. He regards the ability to read the encrypted comms of suspected terrorists as essential to the struggle against terrorism, and he would seek a coordinated EU campaign in which France would play a prominent part. The Wall Street Journal reports that an attack last July on the Union Bank of India closely resembled the phishing that compromised the Bangladesh Bank. The Bangladesh Bank's SWIFT theft is generally attributed to the North Korean-affiliated Lazarus Group. Congratulations are in order to Penn State's Adam Smith, professor of computer science and engineering at that university. He's been awarded the 2017 Gödel Prize for his origination of the concept of differential privacy. Finally, to all the cyber criminals who may be listening, some news you can use. If you're under U.S. indictment, don't vacation in countries that have extradition treaties with the U.S. Spanish police have alleged Kelahos botnet master Pyotr Levashov in custody. U.S. authorities are dismantling Kelahos and all its works, and Mr. Levashov is expected to be facing the music stateside at some point after his interrupted holiday in Spain is over. And in Prague, extradition hearings are beginning for alleged LinkedIn, Dropbox, and Formspring breach artist Yevgeny Nikulin. So if you're on the lam from the feds, think about visiting, say, Chad, Sudan, Eritrea, or North Korea. That's just a partial list. Your travel agent should be able to advise you fully. Fly direct, no stopovers, and say, Guam. And happy landings.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
And I'm pleased to be joined once again by Ben Yellen. He's a senior law and policy analyst at the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security. Ben, of course, a big story that came by recently was Congress overturning the internet privacy regulations, allowing ISPs to sell some of our personal data. Give us the background on this.
Sure. So in October of last year, the Federal Communications Commission promulgated a regulation prohibiting ISPs from selling personal information from their users. There's this little used device, or at least it was little used until this year, called the Congressional Review Act. And the way that this works is that Congress has 60 legislative days after a regulation has been published in the Federal Register to express its disapproval. And if both houses of Congress express disapproval and the president signs it, that regulation is overturned. And that's what happened here. The impetus behind this legislation was that the ISPs complained to members of Congress and to the Trump administration that such a regulation would put them at a competitive disadvantage compared with what we call edge providers like Google and Facebook. Those companies are regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. They face less stringent requirements. These ISPs are under the authority of the FCC, which has more stringent communications. I think the proponents are trying to argue just a simple case that there should be uniformity. My personal opinion is that that argument is not well founded. You don't see any sort of effort at trying to develop a uniform policy between what the regulations that exist at the FTC and at the FCC. One last thing I'll mention is that the way the Congressional Review Act works, once you overturn a regulation under the Congressional Review Act, that agency is prohibited for a statutorily defined period from issuing a separate regulation that would do the same thing as the previous regulation. In other words, now the FCC, no matter what happens through the next, you know, several years, will not be able to promulgate a similar regulation because this bill has passed. And it's a huge, huge loss for privacy advocates, but a major win for the internet service providers.
This one's a real head scratcher because who would be for this other than the ISPs to be able to, you know, make a buck off of selling your personal information?
I mean, I think you answered your own question there. I think what we've seen in the public opinion polling is, you know, basically what you said. There actually is no real constituent interest in overturning this regulation. I think it's the industry, and, you know, they can make all the arguments they want about how there should be uniformity and privacy regulations. That's fine and good, but I think it at least appears that the true motivation is to sidestep these FCC regulations, to sell personal information, to make a profit for the internet service companies.
All right, Ben Yellen, as always, thanks for explaining it for us. We'll talk to you again soon.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.